ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Little bit in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 12 of the Perfect Society, Four Spiritual Classes, Text Number 8. Kesha Prasadano Marda Snapana Bhyan Jano Janadikam Guru Sri Birivati Bhi Tarayenatmano Yuva Petition and commentary by Sri Mangaisi Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. If the wife of the spiritual master is young, a young brahmachari should not allow her to care for his hair, massage his body with oil, or bathe him with affection like a mother. Purport. The relationship between the student or disciple and the wife of the spiritual master or teacher is like that between a mother and the son. A mother sometimes cares for her son by combing his hair, massaging his body with oil, or bathing him. Similarly, the wife of the teacher is also a mother, Guru Patni, and therefore she may also care for the disciple in a motherly way. If the wife of the teacher is a young woman, however, a young brahmachari should not allow such a mother to touch him. This is strictly prohibited. There are seven kinds of mothers, Atmamata Guru Patni, Brahmani Rajapatnika, Deinur Datri Tatapitri, Saptaita Matara Smita. These mothers are the original mother, the wife of the teacher or spiritual master, the wife of the brahmana, the king's wife, the cow, the nurse, and the earth. Unnecessary association with women, even with one's mother, sister, or daughter, is strictly prohibited. This is human civilization. A civilization that allows men to mix unrestrictedly with women is an animal civilization. In Kali Yuga, people are extremely liberal, but mixing with women and talking with them as equals actually constitutes an uncivilized way of life. For the last 4 years, I preach in Eastern Europe, and I'm accustomed to having somebody translate for me in all the classes that I give. So speaking without translator, I may have to stop some time to gather my thoughts because I'm not used to just continually going on. Anyway, it's very nice to be here and have your association. I hope to be able to come back and spend some more time with you here on this visit while in India. This verse in this section of the Bhagavatam is speaking about culture. And culture actually means behavior. What's the proper behavior for all sections of society? This specific verse, however, some of these things that we're reading in this part of the Bhagavatam are not so immediately applicable in our ISKCON society as it is right now. So, for example, how many of you are initiated? And of those who are initiated, how many of your guru does he have a wife? Anyone? No. So formerly it used to be that the guru was a grihastha brahman, and only a grihastha brahman. However, in time these things have changed. And as it is right now, generally in our ISKCON society, very few of our gurus have wives. Most of them are sannyasis. In any case, this kind of this thing may change in time. In fact, it's expected that this will change. We have a situation right now which is what we might call a transition period. What Prabhupada began was the reintroduction of spiritual culture into a very materialistic society. Modern society, of course, is practically speaking godless. And you cannot call it civilized, as Prabhupada mentions here. In Kali Yuga, people are extremely liberal, but mixing with women and talking with them as equals constitutes an uncivilized way of life. So on that, by that definition then, modern society is completely uncivilized. And what Prabhupada's intention was not just to introduce this Krishna consciousness as a religious process, but he wanted to actually reestablish an entire new culture on this planet based on the principles of Krishna consciousness. Behavior, of course, is determined by consciousness. When we change the consciousness by the practice of sadhana bhakti, the behavior is meant to change. This then, by this process, we want to introduce the Krishna culture. Krishna culture is different from modern society in many, many ways. Specifically, as pointed out here, that men and women should not mix as equals and socialize together. Formerly, that was the case in Vedic culture. And again, we want to reestablish this culture in society. So we should understand that what we have now, this way of our practicing Krishna consciousness, is not the final idea. What we are doing now is bringing Krishna consciousness into the materialistic culture with the idea of changing that culture entirely from the inside. Now, it's sometimes very difficult for us to understand this, because culture is such a thing that we are very unconscious about it. How we live, how we behave, what we do, these things we do in such an unconscious way, because from the time that we're very young, we are trained in that culture. So as we become older, automatically we think and act and behave automatically in a particular way. Krishna consciousness is meant to make us think about how we act. Meant to make us think about what we're doing, what our behavior is. And for that, a guideline is required. There must be some standard, some rule of understanding this kind of behavior. This standard of behavior is given in here, in Bhagavatam. The last chapter was about the four varnas. This chapter about the four spiritual orders, ashram. And so these instructions, plus other dharma shastras, such as Manu Samhita, they give us understanding how to behave, what to do, what not to do. The challenge for us is to disentangle ourselves from what we might call the dominant culture. Dominant culture, this materialistic culture. Generally, when we come to Krishna consciousness, it's not possible to just simply give up or walk away from that our cultural training, our cultural habit. So we have to gradually learn new culture and then withdraw or remove the previous culture. This is very difficult when we live in the middle of that culture, particularly because in modern society, modern culture is actually based on an economic way of life. That is, the culture of modern society is sense gratification and how to get money for sense gratification. Very much... not so much this part where we're talking about four ashrams, but in the previous chapter, talking about the four varnas, this explains how economic activity should take place. Modern society is very, you could say, diametrically even opposed to that. Modern society trains us in a way of understanding I and mine. In fact, modern society is created for enhancing the idea of I and mine. The more I have, the more I am. On the way coming from the airport last night, so many of the signboards were giving reinforcement of this idea. There was one signboard advertising women's shoes. And the caption was, I, me, and my ego. It should have said false. I'd like to go up there with a crayon and write false in between. I, me, and my false ego. Based on what? What I have. How I dress. Where I live. What I drive. How much money I have. Based on this I and mine is based on the idea of private ownership. I can own so many things. The more I own, the more I am. So this idea is actually opposite the idea of Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness, the idea is Krishna, he is the supreme proprietor. He's the proprietor of everything. He is the supreme enjoyer. And he is the dearmost friend. If we want to progress in our Krishna consciousness, we have to give up these ideas. Give up the idea that I am the proprietor of anything. Give up the idea that I am the enjoyer. And give up the idea that I am the dearmost friend of anyone. As long as we attempt to take the place of Krishna, it's not possible for us to advance in Krishna consciousness. So therefore, the culture should be arranged in such a way so as to facilitate our developing this consciousness. There's a design principle that says form follows function. A chair, for example, has a particular form because its function is to give a seating place. It has a different shape than a table, which has a different function. When we look at society, we see how it functions, or we see what the form of it is, and from that we can understand its function. If we make an analysis then of modern society, we will see that its function is actually to enrich a small section of society at the expense of the majority of people. And to to make people actually happy, to subordinate themselves to this end. So people are given a career, so to speak, in which they become very enthusiastic to work for others for whatever purpose they might have. In this culture, very few people work for their own immediate interest. And the result of this is that people generally are unsatisfied and unhappy. I don't know about here. In America, a large percentage of people, they're taking psychotropic medications because they cannot deal with the arrangement of modern society. What is it like here? People taking such pills? Trying to cope? Huh? Who knows? Starting now. Yeah. So, very unfortunate, huh? This way of living, the way this society is arranged. Who gives us such a way of life? How is it determined how we're living? Did it happen by chance? Just these cities, this industrial process just spring up by itself? No. Actually, this way of life is given to us by a certain class of society. We may call them the powers that be. And the modern way of life was begun about 500 years ago just after at the beginning of what we might call the Industrial Revolution, or even before that, the Renaissance, then the powers that be determined that they wanted a new arrangement, the way people would live in this world. Previously, particularly in Europe and probably here also, although I'm more familiar with the culture in Europe at that time, in Europe they had what was called the medieval system, in which was basically a remnant of Vanashram culture. There were kings, there were lords, they had charge of a section of land, and many people would work under their protection. The king would provide housing, he would provide facility for people, and in return the people would give their service to that lord. The problem with this arrangement is that the king or the lord had an obligation to the people who worked for him. He had to see to their maintenance, at least to some degree. And sometimes, if the king became a little overbearing, or the lord, the people would revolt, and they would kill him. So this had this arrangement was a little too close, a little too intimate for them. They wanted to change the way that we live, and so they began to introduce the modern way of life. But they had to make some changes for that. The changes were that they needed a what we would call a modern nation state, a government larger than an individual fiefdom or kingdom. They also needed money, paper money particularly, that they could control, and they required wage work. In other words, they wanted to give everyone a job. Immediately, this did not appeal to people. They did not like to give up their independence to take a job in some factory or in some city, working for somebody's interest other than their own immediate interest. So the powers that be, they determined, what they did was they passed many laws to restrict the activities of people. Formerly, there was an area of land that they would call the commons. The commons is where people would graze their animals and they would do some farming activity to raise food for themselves. Nobody, generally the king owned that land, but the land was understood to be available for use for the people, the common people. This is where that word, the common people, or the common man, comes from that person who would use that common land. As long as the commons were available to people, then they could be independent. They didn't need a job in the city, nor did they want one. So the governments then began to pass laws to restrict the commons, to reduce the commons. They passed what was called in England the Enclosure Acts, in which they put fences around the commons so that people could not use them. Even though that land would then sit idle, there was nobody to work it, still that was preferred because it forced people to go to the city to take a job. It took a long time. It took hundreds of years for this process to actually become complete. Now it's fairly well complete. And in places like America and Western Europe, we have 97% of the people that live on 3% of the land. The result, of course, of that is that people are controlled. Everyone must work for money, and money comes from somebody else. So this creates a culture in which people are forced to get their needs. They're forced to go and compete in society. They're forced into the mode of passion, Rajagun, and Tamagun, is simply in order to be able to survive. The result of this, of course, is that people don't have time to maintain even their relationships properly, they don't have time to take care of their children, what to speak of have time for spiritual life. So now that this social engineering has been accomplished, those of us born in the last half of the 20th century particularly, we think this is the normal way of living, that this is how people should live. We don't know anything really beyond that. Or, let's say, the propaganda is made to make us think that this is anything else is a primitive way of life. Actually, nothing could be further from the truth. Modern life, modern industrial life, is a very primitive way of life. And this Krishna consciousness movement is meant to change that. First, by changing the consciousness of the members of the society. And by that change of consciousness, one can no longer do what they formerly did. For example, as one progresses in Krishna consciousness, one develops more quality of sattva-gun. That quality of sattva-gun means that one wants to be clean. One can no longer tolerate going to a dirty place. Because immediately if one is in such a dirty place, they by their consciousness, they must clean it. They must fix it. They must make the environment to match their consciousness. If we do not do that, we put a stumbling block on our path of in our spiritual path. This is the meaning of the offense to maintain material attachments even after understanding so many instructions in this manner. Or, let's say, to continue to live in the same way even though the consciousness is changed. Now, I was a grihastha. I have three children. So I had many years of having to work also to maintain my family. I joined Krishna consciousness as a young man, 24 years of age, and I lived in the temple, in Prabhupada's temples, for about 4 years before I had to finally take a job outside the ISKCON society. And what I saw in that process was that I had, by the practice of sadhana bhakti, I had raised my consciousness up so nicely. But then when I had to work, when I had to go out and associate with materialistic people, I could see my consciousness going down, 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 down. And it was a terrible predicament. What to do? I have financial need for my family. But how can I maintain my consciousness and at the same time provide for my family? It was very difficult for me. So my process was I would work for a while, save up some money, and then again I would spend, use my time for cultivating Krishna consciousness. So I felt like what we call a yo-yo. Do you have yo-yos here? You know what yo-yo is? This little spool that you goes up and down, right? This little spool of wood on a thread, right? So the consciousness going up and down, as I would work and then go back reestablish my Krishna consciousness, then have to work again, back and forth like this. So, from this experience, I understood that this is not proper way to live for a devotee. Very difficult to actually stay fixed in this wonderful consciousness, this wonderful Krishna consciousness, and at the same time have to think about getting money, getting and spending. How many of you have jobs? So maybe you have some understanding, some appreciation for what I'm saying. And you young men, this may, hopefully not, hopefully we can develop our society further before you have to have such a situation. My conclusion after all of this experience was that the reason that the reason we have to do this, the reason we have to sacrifice our grihastha devotees to this materialistic way of life is because we have not yet developed our own economic base independent of modern society. The way for doing that, of course, is Prabhupada describes vanashram. Means simple village life, where one can solve the economic problem very simply with land and a cow. The economic problem, well, first of all, let's try to understand, what is the economic problem? Generally, if you ask people what's the economic problem, they say, I have to get some money. This is the economic problem. But this word economics, this word derives from the Greek word economos, which means literally household. So economics in its most literal sense means how to fulfill the needs of the household, which means food, shelter, clothing. This is not a very difficult thing to do. One can provide their own food very simply on a small piece of land. One can also arrange within a small group of people that clothing also comes from the land. And housing also comes directly from the earth. This is the way of life that is given to us by Krishna. Krishna has prescribed for us how to live on this planet. As we deviate from Krishna's plan, we must introduce problems into society. The further we deviate from Krishna's plan, the more problems there will be, and the greater those problems will be. So we've come to a point in time now where we have a global economic crisis all around the world at the same time. Because the deviation from Krishna's plan has become so great, so severe, that the problem can become immediate everywhere on this whole planet. A greater problem is that people do not know how this problem is created. Everyone, all the big economists, all the world leaders are scratching their heads trying to figure out how do we solve this problem. And it seems nobody knows what to do. They don't know how the problem is created, nor do they know how to solve it. But it's actually not difficult at all to solve the problem. First, of course, you have to understand the problem. And in modern society, people generally, they don't have a perspective from which to be able to understand that problem. Because they're bred in the modern culture, that they're limited in the concepts by which they can think. So within the box of modern society, they only have so many ideas to work with, and those ideas are insufficient for them to understand how they've gotten themselves into the situation. However, Prabhupada's books, the Vedic knowledge, and particularly Prabhupada's lessons for us, give us another way of understanding. They give us a perspective outside of the dominant culture by which we can very easily analyze it, understand where the problem comes from, and understand the solution. All that remains is for us to actually apply that understanding. The problems of life are not difficult to solve. All we have to do is follow the Lord's instructions in Bhagavad Gita. Here we're talking not only about economic problem, but the major problems of life, birth, death, disease, and old age. So, if we can understand Bhagavad Gita and how to apply it in modern life, this is the challenge for us. Particularly, this is a challenge for us as followers of Prabhupada. To lead the world into a new way of understanding, a new way of living. In other words, a new culture. Our consciousness, by studying these books, the practice of our sadhana, our consciousness should bring us to the point where we can no longer live the ways of the dominant culture. We must find another way of living which is compatible with the instructions of the Lord in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. So this is our challenge. Right now it's a transition period. We have trying to create these village communities and understand how to establish them so that we can separate ourselves, free ourselves from the influences of modern society. So this is where we want to go. The practice that we do now, this is not the final conclusion of Krishna consciousness of our society. This is simply an interim period. Ultimately, we want to have a complete culture based on land and cow. So this is the idea of Krishna culture, to change the way we live, to change the way we, not only for ourselves, but as an inspiration, an example, as a model for the people of the world, how to live properly. So I'll stop there in case we have any questions or comments. Mataji? Just a minute, they're going to bring a microphone.
I could understand with the Sudras and Vaishyas how we could engage them in their propensities, but the Kshatriyas and the Brahmanas, not so much, but the Kshatriya class with the having to be trained in that type of field, and also like doctors and, you know, the we could say they're the Brahmana class, right? Because not really in the Brahmana class, it's more the preaching class. So what would you put the doctors and like that in? Which class would you put them into?
Varnas? You're speaking about Varnas? How to classify people according to Varnas?
Yeah.
Varnas works like this. The highest class of man, they're responsible for all of the other sections of society. A man with the most ability, he has the most responsibility, the most duty, the most obligation. So a varna is according to a man's ability. The brahmana, he has both spiritual and material responsibility. The kshatriya, more focus on material responsibility. The vaishya, on economic responsibility. And the shudra, on service. So, anyway, these, you take doctors, for example. Surgeon, somebody who's like a mechanic doctor. He may be classified as a shudra. But other doctors who are understanding disease, how the body works, how the health of the body, how the whole body functions. These may be a class of brahmana. So there's different distinctions on that. We haven't yet in our society begun to even address the idea of varna. And so these things are not, as far as I've seen, they're not widely discussed. In Mayapur this year, Bhakti Raghav Maharaj, he will give a seminar on Vanashram. And maybe some of these things will be discussed. We'll see. I don't know.
Because I was thinking, if we try to engage all the devotees with a different propensity in Krishna consciousness without them having to go outside and take, infiltrate into the society, but if we had to train doctors and nurses in a way that we couldn't avoid for them to have to go out to school?
Yeah, Like I said, it's a transition. We can't immediately separate ourselves from society. It's not that we can just go to the village en masse and just plunk ourselves down and it won't work. Well, we don't know how to live like that. And we also have our own material conditioning. So that's why I say it's a transition period. But we have to understand that it is a transition period, not that this is just the final end game. Huh? Not that this is just not what we continue to do for the whole future. No. This is the beginning of the change of culture. Okay?
You were mentioning that there are some places where they are beginning this village communities. I'm just curious to know which are the places, if you know any place.
Well, I thought your temple, you had one such project
starting.
They are
starting,
also
starting, actually.
Uh-huh.
But I don't
know. No, Bhakti Raghav, there's many different places around the world. Bhakti Raghav Maharaj has a place in Hibri, which I think is Karnataka or
yeah.
Kerala, one or the other. And there may be, I'm sure there's other things going on here in India that I'm not familiar with. But Shivaram Maharaj has one project in Hungary. In Brazil, in South America, there are also some projects. New Zealand has a farm. Generally, what I see, though, in especially in our farms in America, we haven't clearly understood exactly what we're doing. Typically, what we've done in the past is we've mixed the two cultures up completely, and we haven't been able to realize the benefit of village life. The actual benefit of village life is time. One must have, Prabhupada writes, one can, especially here in India, you have a tropical climate, one can work for 3 years, maximum 6 months of the year, and then have 6 months of the year for spiritual life. Because we're conditioned by our city life, and Rajagun, we go to the village and we take the city with us. So we bring the motive passion to the village instead of actually changing to become come more to the mode of goodness. We simply bring passion to the village. So this part has to be understood. How we must separate these two cultures and create the pure Krishna culture, which will allow us to realize and use the benefit of time for spiritual life. Okay?
One more thing, actually. I was talking to one devotee who is very much into like this community thing. So, but there to develop this community, they need the help of city in the beginning.
Very
so unless they become, he was a little fanatic, you know, that we don't need this city preaching and all that. So actually, these projects cannot be developed unless we are collaborating with the city money, actually, because situation is like that now.
Exactly, we have to buy our way out of this culture, which means, and money comes from the city. So we need the city. You're exactly correct. We must have a cooperation between those in the city and those in the village. Prabhupada spoke on this. He wrote one unpublished paper in 1949 called Conceptions of Gita Nagari. It's on the folio. And in that, Prabhupada called Gita Nagari, of course, the place where we live according to Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada explained that the Gita Nagari should be managed by two classes of devotees, the Shrutis and Srimatis. The Shrutis being those devotees who understand what to do, how to live, and the Srimatis being those who Krishna has blessed to keep his wealth and use Krishna's wealth for establishing this alternative culture. So it requires cooperation. I mean, everything requires cooperation. Just like, you know, you have such a beautiful temple here. You know, this isn't done by one person, but it's done by the cooperation of many, many people. So the same way, we won't, we can't just be fanatical and criticize, oh, you people in the city, you're all in Maya. You know, or the people in, you know, want to live in the, we can't, it's foolish. By Krishna's arrangement, everyone can do what they want to do. And if we cooperate, doing what we want to do for the goal of establishing the Krishna culture, then we can be successful. But if we have to have that same goal in mind, we have to have the same understanding where we are going as a society. So that's why I say this is not the final object of our activity, to simply have a city temple and we just make more devotees and just stay here in the city. That's not it. The idea is we want to create another culture, and that full culture can only be realized in a village environment.
Hare Krishna. Prabhuji, as the modern age progresses more and more people will be engaged in this modern civilization of passionate life and uncontrolled senses. So
say that again.
As the modern age advances more and more people and even devotees will be engaged in this passionate life of getting money and problem with controlling the senses and like that.
Mm-hmm.
So how much would it be possible for ISKCON society as such in due course of time to slowly gradually shift to a village scenario where one lives peacefully and happily in harmony with nature and Krishna?
What's the question?
How would it be possible to...
How will it be possible?
Yeah.
That depends on the dominant culture. How bad will this economic problem become? Village life may seem very attractive quickly. Because let's look at the situation. How many people does it take for you to eat when you live in the city? Right? If you live in the village, you grow your food, you eat it. You cook and eat it. One person, right? If you live in the city, now maybe here is a little different, but like in America, huh? If you live in the city, you cannot eat without the help of 10,000 people. You know, somebody has to work in the store, somebody has to build the store, somebody has to put the lights in the store, somebody has to make the electricity, somebody has to bring the food to the store, somebody has to make the truck to bring this food to the store, somebody has to make the gasoline to bring the food to the store, somebody has to make the refinery, somebody has to drill the oil. Huh? All these people are required simply for one person to eat. So this artificial way of life, It's a ridiculous way of life, really. Huh? And if the economic problem becomes severe, you can't even eat, right? Because nobody's paid to do their job. This is foolishness. So why? Because of the extreme deviation from the instructions of the Lord. Krishna gave us a way to live happily in this world. Huh? He gave us his village life so that we could live happily and have Krishna consciousness. So that's what we want to come to. We want to, as a society, we want to recreate this complete culture of Krishna. And when we talk about village life, we don't just mean farmers. Huh? It's not just about farming, but all parts of society must be there. We must have arts, we must have literature, we must have teachers, we must have everything. Huh? Musicians and so on, because people need culture. If we don't create our own culture, people will get culture from somewhere else. They'll go to the city, they'll listen to the radio, they'll watch television, they'll go to the internet. Somehow or other, we must have culture. So the only question is, what kind of culture are we going to have? We want to create such a wonderful culture that everyone, they will just walk away from whatever they think was so valuable before, huh, and just come and join us. This is the idea. So Prabhupada said that we will, by our practical example, we will attract them. This is what we want to do. So I was told to stop at 9:30, so we have to end there. So thank you very much for your association. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.